Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 348 of Locked On Canadiens. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. Well, I am one of your hosts. I am Scott Matla, and since the last time we chatted on Friday morning on your drive to work, I'm sure, the Canadiens have done 9 million things, roughly, and Laura, as always, is joining me. Laura, how do you process what the Canadiens' weekend was like since our last episode?
So they obviously laid an egg against Winnipeg on Saturday night. I was not pleased about that. And I think we were all kind of frustrated. And then the Canadiens decided to put Victor Mete on waivers. And they also decided to trade for John Merrill of the Detroit Red Wings, previously Golden Knight. And none of that makes that much sense to me. Although we did have a lot of fun with Cole Caulfield, and I know we're going to talk about that later. And I'm looking very forward to it because I feel like Cole Caulfield is going to be a bright spot in some very frustrating times up ahead.
So the odd part about the whole John Merrill trade and Victor Mete on waivers, because these do kind of go hand in hand. And I look at this trade first and foremost. We talked to Nolan Bianchi of Locked On Red Wings in the DM, and I'm sure we will talk to him very much in the future. The Canadiens traded a fifth-round draft pick, Ottawa's this year, and Hayden Verbeek to Detroit for John Merrill. No cash retained, nothing like that. And the first thing that stands out that I saw from Max Baltman of The Athletic, Evolving Hockey from Micah Blake McCurdy at Hockey Viz, JFresh Hockey, all of them had the same take on this, and it's that John Merrill is a very good shot-suppressing defenseman. He's going to provide next to no offense, but he did very well on Detroit's penalty kill. He did very well defensively, and in his role playing with Philip Hronek or Patrick Nemeth or Christian Juice, he was the safe stay-back option, the last man back, so to speak. And given the role that he's going to be filling, likely next to Alexander Romanov, it's very hard to not be happy with that because Romanov needs kind of a safety valve. He likes to carry the puck and be aggressive, and giving him a partner whose whole game is, all right, yeah, you go ahead, and I'll kind of wait here and see what happens, isn't the worst thing in the world. It's not a sexy trade in any way, shape, or form. It's not exciting. It's not groundbreaking, but it's a good building block move. And we will talk about the deadline in our next segment, but giving Romanov someone who can kind of give him the confidence to go ahead and carry the puck while he stays back to help cover the zone and potentially help improve the power, or not the power play. Definitely don't put John Merrill on the power play. the penalty kill, I think, is a good thing for the Canadiens, because if their penalty kill gets better and Jake Allen and Carey Price are able to kill penalties more effectively, that's solving a huge issue that's been plaguing the team since the season began in last year. It's the Victor Mete on waivers part that I don't fully understand. They avoided putting him on waivers earlier in the season because they assumed he would get claimed. They waived Noah Juulsen. Noah Juulsen was picked off waivers by the Florida Panthers, and he's now playing for their AHL affiliate. So my fear is that I don't think Victor Mete is going to make it through waivers, and I don't understand why they didn't, you know, send Otto Leskinen back down to make this trade. And it feels like this is wasting Victor Mete in Montreal. If he gets to Laval, the Rocket are somehow even more stacked. But Laura, I got to be honest, I don't think he's going to get that far at all.
It's really funny because I was just recording with our friend, the Habstatician, and we discussed how it does not seem very likely that he wouldn't get claimed because there are enough smart GMs in this league that they realize his value even if the Canadiens do not. And a lot of people pointed out on Twitter that the Habs must have done their research and found out that nobody was willing to give a draft pick or whatever for him. So they assumed that he's unwanted. And in my mind, I wonder if they even did that research. I don't necessarily think that the Canadiens were thinking too deeply or too far ahead with this move. I think that they don't think that Victor Mete has value. unfortunately, I think they're wrong. I also see a team with a GM like Kyle Dubas claiming him. So for me, I don't want him to go to another team in the division. I hope he goes somewhere where, like, it doesn't really affect the Habs. I hope he gets played a lot. And I hope he sees success wherever he ends up. Because for me, I'm not saying they're trading away a superstar in the making. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying they're taking a useful piece and not getting something for him. That's the asset management that I have a problem with. I think Victor Mete is the kind of player that the Canadiens could use. In today's NHL, any team can use a guy who's fast. And unfortunately, it seems like he makes a mistake and that kind of it colors people's opinion of him. And people just think that he's a guy who can't play defense, whereas in my mind, he shouldn't be a guy who just plays defense. He should be a guy that assists with moving the puck off the up the offense. And that's something that they don't seem to care about. And for me, I'm rambling at this point, but I just think that this move is not very astute. It's not very forward thinking. And I hope Victor Mete doesn't get claimed, because I think that once they realize his value, he could be so useful to this team.
The funny part about Victor Mete is that they went so all in on him as Shea Weber's partner, which was probably a bit much to ask of him. And then when it didn't work out, they just abandoned that. And he was on this short leash where any screw up got him sent to the press box or scratched or benched or anything like that. When in reality, if they took their time with him, like, yeah, he didn't work as Shea Weber's partner, but maybe as a third pairing option instead of like some of the crap we've paraded through Montreal recently, it would have worked out better. Or if they sent him to the AHL when he was first eligible to give him that time to give that a shot, you know, little things that help. But unfortunately, this is where we are. If he gets through, Joel Bouchard's going to be getting an absolute boon for his team right now. Simple as that. Like, he's going to get an NHL quality defenseman in the AHL for a team right now that's pushing through to the end of their season with a compressed schedule. I don't think he will. Suffice to say, that's going to be disappointing, but we will find out Monday afternoon in the middle of the trade deadline. And speaking of the trade deadline, now with John Merrill in the fold, kind of getting a defenseman, Eric Staal already being here, Mark Bergevin was almost another very busy man acquiring a member of the Anaheim Ducks. Laura and I are going to talk about that and potential trade deadline thoughts coming up next. If you've been listening to this show since the start, you obviously know all about Built Bar. We just got done with Built Bar Madness, but we're still here to tell you about the incredible product that they are offering. They have 18 amazing flavors, everything from caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, to classic flavors like peanut butter, coconut almond, double chocolate, and even new flavors like churro puff, birthday cake, coconut brownie crunch. There is something for everyone, and there are nut-free options just in case you have any sort of allergy. They're an incredible health thing. They have lower sugar, higher protein, higher fiber, everything you want in your protein bar. And if you go to BuiltBar.com, you can get a free cooler with your purchase while supplies last. And if you go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, that's LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your next order. All you got to do, go there, put together your package, and it's LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so John Merrill and his, I can't tell if it's amazing or disgusting mullet, are in Montreal. Eric Staal and his perpetual pouty face are in Montreal. And according to Elliot Friedman on Headlines on Saturday night, Mark Bergevin had touched base with the Anaheim Ducks on acquiring Ryan Getzlaf from the Anaheim Ducks. And honestly, I think it was Andrew Berkshire who put it best, that Mark Bergevin is trying to acquire the entire 03 NHL draft in some way, shape, or form. And as weird as Eric Staal is and as weird as Corey Perry is, I feel like Ryan Getzlaf would be another just odd level for this team. And again, I do not think that Ryan Getzlaf is what the Canadiens need right now. When they need a little bit more speed, a little bit more pace, I think Getzlaf is still a talented player, but at the likely price to acquire him, which I assume would include a first round pick, I really, really don't know if it's what this team needed, Laura.
This team does not need any more players that used to be great. They don't. They don't need any more players that still have talent, that are dragging themselves all over the ice when their younger, faster teammates are already way ahead of the play. This team does not need any more forwards. They have enough. They need to equip them with a strategy that works. This team does not need any people that are former stars as good as they were, because they are not the same players now. And it's just like this thing with recency bias. This Corey Perry experiment is working really well, and I'm not going to complain for a single second about how well that's going. But at the same time, that does not necessarily translate to everything and everybody. They grabbed Eric Staal, which is great. And it's only been 3 games he's played on the Habs, 4 games, I think, 3, 4. I can't even count. I'm pretty sure it's 4, by the time that you're listening to this. And he's fine. He's not like, it's not a detriment to the team, but it's not what the team needs. It's literally not what they need. This team needs a better strategy to have the defense take part in the offense and stop being a scoring chance leading mess. That's what they need. So if they're going to do that through a trade, Ryan Getzlaff is not going to help them. Neither is any other forward.
The funny part is that, like, if they got Ryan Getzlaff instead of Eric Staal, I can kind of see it. But, like, right now I look at it and go, they got Eric Staal. I assume the price was better, getting hopefully a similar thing. And by the end of next week, we will have a talk on Eric Staal and whether or not we think he's working out well in Montreal or not. But this team needs speed and pace. And I look at some of the prices being paid right now, and it's a very dangerous proposition. Like, David Savard was traded for a first, a third, a fourth, with salary retention through two teams and everything. And he's got worse metrics than John Merrill does on a better team. So I look at what the Canadiens paid for John Merrill and Eric Staal, and yeah, they're not getting the top name on the market, but they're getting incredible value in what they're trading for without selling the farm, so to speak. And I kind of wonder, looking at what Nick Foligno went for, a first, a fourth, and with salary retention and all this other stuff, there are people saying that Taylor Hall isn't going to fetch a first. If Taylor Hall's not fetching a first, I hope Mark Bergevin's all over that, honestly. Like, and then I kind of look at what the Canadiens could do. If people like Nick Foligno are being traded for that and David Savard are being traded for those prices, as good as Corey Perry has been in Montreal for $750,000 with the production he's had, you got to figure there are teams calling to have him, you know, to get his services from the Canadiens. Because I look at it this way, Joel Armia is back in practice. You still have Michael Frolik. You have Cole Caulfield, who's tearing up the AHL. Jesse Ylönen should hopefully be back in the near future. You have Ryan Poehling, who's playing well. If you think you can stomach trading Corey Perry and getting a return for it, if you're Mark Bergevin, like, you have to do it, right? Like, forget getting Ryan Getzlaff or anything like that. You could be a seller and a buyer, so to speak, at the deadline and easily come out on top if you're smart about what you do. And Mark Bergevin's a fairly cautious guy with moves like this, and I really do think that if he's going to look at maybe trading Corey Perry, this is the time to do it. His value is not going to get any higher, and there are going to be teams desperate for whatever intangibles he has going forward.
I just personally, I'm very confused about the strategy of this team. Like, what is their long-term thinking, and what are their plans? It feels like they had this idea in the off season, and now everything is just like plug this hole and then another hole opens and you're still carrying, taking on water. And then, you know, you've just got this series of things that they keep doing that don't have a cohesive, end goal in mind, a cohesive philosophy in mind, maybe is that a better word? And so I think, you know, the Canadiens, they don't necessarily have to do either thing at the trade deadline, but if they do, like, you would hope that they have a good enough plan, like, or any plan at all. And so for me, I'm looking at the prices for some of these guys, and I'm kind of laughing at Toronto because I feel like they overpaid for Nick Foligno, because why did they even need him, to be honest? I honestly don't understand that. But at the same time, I have a hard time believing that the asking price for Taylor Hall is not that high. Like, if you're Buffalo, you're still Buffalo, but are you really that stupid is my question.
I mean, Kevin Adams doesn't have a goddamn clue what he's doing, to be fully honest with you, but, like...
I mean, fair. That's very fair. But I just, I feel like if you're in that situation, don't you at least shoot for the moon?
You would think so, yeah. And I look at it, as of the time of recording this, on my way to Buffalo, where I'm sitting here in our dining room, is that Taylor Hall had narrowed it down to three teams who were deeply in the mix, in that there was something relatively imminent, I guess, is how Darren Dreger phrased it. We know the Avs are one of them, and I believe the Bruins are one of them. We don't know who the third team is, and until it's said otherwise, I always am going to assume it's the Canadiens because, you know, it's Marc Bergevin. Like, you never know what he's going to get up to. I think he's got something up his sleeve. I was talking to Mike Obrand on Twitter after the John Merrill trade while I was at work, and this feels similar to like 2014 to me, where there's going to be some small moves, and then Marc Bergevin went out and got Thomas Vanek at like the 11th hour of the trade deadline. I don't know what the move is going to be. I think a lot of it is going to depend on what happens with Victor Mete, what they want to do with Cole Caulfield. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if the 5 p.m. deadline happened, nothing happened, and then we get a Caulfield recall to the NHL, like, immediately. There's a lot at play here. I think he's started with a decent base. I think Eric Staal and John Merrill are good structural support pieces, but he's missing that. That's something. And I'm glad Joel Armia is back. And we know that Ben Chiarot will be back soon. And we know Brendan Gallagher is going to be out for a while. He's on LTIR. He's out 6 weeks. It feels like they're missing that oomph, that something. I don't quite know what it is, but I guess we will find out in the relative near future. And as always, you can check out the Locked On Trade Deadline Show. Laura will be on with our good friends Mary Clark and Andrew Berkshire. And a bunch of our local hosts will be on as well. And we did mention Cole Caulfield because this is the biggest Cole Caulfield fan account on the internet. We're going to talk about his weekend debut for the Laval Rocket, and that's coming up next. Before we go any further today, I want to talk to you about one of our show sponsors, BetOnline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline.ag even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. You can get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. And BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. 3, 2, 1. Be a waiver wire winner with daily fantasy hockey advice from Locked On Fantasy Hockey. Fantasy hockey expert Scott Cullen gives you the tips, insights, and analysis for season-long Dynasty and DFS leagues. Follow the Locked On Fantasy Hockey podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. So, Laura, it finally happened. We finally got Cole Caulfield in a Montreal Canadiens organization uniform. And he did not disappoint in the absolute slightest. He finished the weekend with 3 goals and an assist, and he looks like he might already be too good for the AHL. I don't know if you were watching live or just following on Twitter, but when he scored that first power play goal, I don't think I've ever seen Twitter come together, at least Habs Twitter come together so quickly to be like, to celebrate anything, like, honestly, ever.
He had quite a day, did he not? He won the Hobie Baker and then immediately went on to score his first goal. And not only that, contributes significantly to a win against the Marlies, which personally makes me happy. I don't know if lots of Habs fans care who the opponent was, but for me, it added a little bit of extra joy. He seems like he is, you know, he's pro already. He's poised. He's composed. He's mature on the ice. He's playing so well. It's obviously a very short sample size or small sample size, But I personally, I could not be happier. And it just, to me, like, somebody tweeted this. I want to say it was Nicole Haas on Twitter, who, if you follow Wisconsin hockey or women's sports in general, you would follow her. And she said, I think Cole Caulfield is having the best 3 hours of the entire pandemic. And it certainly seems that way. I think, like, for one guy to have just so much success in such a short amount of time. And it was so heartwarming for me too, to see his Wisconsin teammates gather to watch the announcement. And then they were cheering, even though he's all the way here in Montreal, and they were jumping up and down and cheering and so excited. And it just, to me, it just warms my heart. He's everything that we expected so far. And we waited a long time for this. We waited a long time for that Friday night game. And I can't say enough about how impressed I am with just how he's fit in, and he hasn't shown up with an attitude. You know, it's clear that his teammates like him already. And he's a superstar compared to them, right? We're talking about, like, oh, he might already be too good for the AHL. Like, this guy shows up with a lot of promise, a lot of hype, like literally just winning an award, like an hour before puck drop or whatever it was. And he shows up and, like, he gets embraced immediately, and it just says so much about his work ethic and what he's willing to do to succeed. And I think that his team kind of sees that as well. They were just so happy for him when he was scoring. It was a joy to see, but it was also kind of a relief to me that, you know, he's already found a home with his teammates. He's able to blend in with anybody. He's able to be, to contribute to any kind of team strategy. And it is a relief. You know, you kind of always have in the back of your mind when somebody is so highly touted and so well hyped that you're a little bit nervous that it's not going to go well, especially in the beginning, especially when they first go in and maybe they try to do too much or try to be the star or try to take on too much as a single person. He didn't do any of that. He was just the consummate teammate, and he used his talent to contribute. And to me, I'm so relieved by that. And obviously, you know, he's going to have growing pains. Everybody will. But the fact that he started out so well, it helps, because there are still a lot of doubters and naysayers in this market. It helps for people to see that he is able to step it up. He's able to deal with the pressure, and he's not crumbling under it. I think that's the biggest factor. And people keep trying to point to a single tournament or whatever, and it's really about his usage. And to me, there's no better coach than Joel Bouchard to kind of put him in a place where he will be able to succeed and contribute. And I can't say enough. As you can tell, I'm going off is what I'm doing right now. I'm going off on how happy I am with Cole Caulfield.
I think the biggest thing for me with Caulfield's debut is, one, his speed was outstanding. He doesn't look lost at the professional level, and obviously the NHL is another step up, but he showed speed getting by the Marlies for his second goal, where he shoots low, gets a rebound, and then without even, like, having a second to think, just flicks a shot right over the top of the goalie with ease. Like, it was scary how easy that looked for him. And then I think the biggest thing that I've noticed, that even when he's not having the puck on his stick or as an option, he's moving to find space. He's making himself a threat. Like, we've talked about how millions of times on this show, that Shea Weber does not move to try and find space to operate. Cole Caulfield does. He was moving around the offensive zone on the power play. Everyone's looking for, you know, a 5'9", you know, 175-pound soaking wet toddler on the ice because of how dangerous he is. And his ability to find those soft spots, to make himself a shooting target, and then just uncork absolutely ridiculous shots like he is absolutely what you want to see from this team. And Joel Bouchard tried to keep expectations in check, that, yes, he's not going to have all these points every single night. Yeah, we know that, but at the same time, looking at how he played in his debut game, there's no reason he couldn't, honestly. Like, he's that good already. And my honest expectation is, I don't want him to go near the Canadiens while they are currently a toxic flaming mess, because, you know, why would we ever want to introduce a prospect to that? But he, honest to God, might force their hand with how good he's been. Cole Caulfield is a difference maker. You get into the playoffs and you can put him out on a power play with Jonathan Drouin, Jesperi Kotkaniemi, or Nick Suzuki feeding him passes. It's like getting a new player at the deadline, but you already had them on your team. And I do think, honestly, that Mark Bergevin's thought process is, I got Cole Caulfield. I assume if he had gotten Jordan Harris, he might not have made another trade, or Victor Mete would have gone on waiver sooner because of Harris's eligibility in the team there. If we look at it, and I'm not saying this is how they should approach it, but I understand the mindset, Cole Caulfield feels like a deadline acquisition that they gave up absolutely nothing for. And that's a huge boost. And even if he doesn't play in the NHL this year, there really shouldn't be much stopping him next year. He was absolutely fantastic. And the biggest shame is the Rocket don't play again until the 15th. So we are without the SGB for another 5 days or so, if he doesn't get called up to the NHL by then. That is going to wrap up our episode. Laura, do you have any parting thoughts before the trade deadline?
Be small, score goals.
Yes, be small, score goals. Follow Locked On Canadiens at @LO_Canadiens on Twitter. You can follow Laura at The Active Stick, myself at Scott Matla. You can find us wherever you find your daily podcasts. Thank you so much for listening. We will be back after Monday night's game against Toronto with all your trade deadline news and everything else. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.